Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
We read, first of all, Acts 1, 6 to 8. And Acts, I wanted to read that. I wanted to go back to the beginning, because we're finishing off Acts this week. And I wanted to go back to the beginning and have a little bit of a recap, because that video we just watched did such a brilliant job of telling the story at the end, that I just wanted to just go back to the beginning for a minute, because I think that Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, is probably one of the most important verses in the whole of the book of Acts. And then the most important chapter is the chapter that fulfills it, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. Because Acts started with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And who promised the Holy Spirit?
Jesus.
It was Jesus, yeah. Jesus. I think you can probably trust a promise that Jesus makes, don't you? So it starts with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus makes. And then that promise is fulfilled in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and turns Jesus' followers into the new temple promised by the Old Testament prophets. Wow, what a fulfillment. This has been being promised throughout the Old Testament, that there would be this new incredible temple filled with God's incredible presence. And it turns out, shock of all shocks, that that temple ends up being us. Not just us, but all of God's chosen followers from the beginning of time till the end of time, all around the world, all throughout time. You are part of bricks in a temple that spans time and spans continents. And you make up the promised new temple that would be filled with God's Spirit. And these Holy Spirit-empowered followers of Jesus become empowered for witness, and the good news about Jesus spreads throughout the known world. Because Jesus said, as Annie read, what would happen when we were filled with the Holy Spirit? What would happen? What's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit? We become bold witnesses. Bold witnesses. Where we are, in the next town, and to the ends of the earth. And it's fantastic. And this is where we come then to the last read, right to the very, very end of Acts 28, 30 to 31, which Stella read. Because Acts ends with Paul preaching the good news, unhindered, in the centre of the Roman Empire, in Rome itself, the capital, right under Caesar's nose. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has journeyed, taking the good news of salvation and freedom all the way through the Roman Empire, right to the very, very centre of the known world at the time. And even Paul, it was said, was going to... Paul was in prison, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit said, so that he would present the gospel to Caesar himself, to the one person in the world who said, I am the king of the world and I rule everything and I am the most important person on this planet. And the real most important person, the real king of this planet, was going to go in Paul through the Holy Spirit and tell this person, I am king of the world. Are you ready to bow before me? Isn't that incredible? Now, we don't actually know for sure what happened to Paul after this, because the story just ends. Like Stella read it to you, it just ends. And he preached the gospel unhindered and boldly for 2 years, and then the story ends. Totally open-ended. So we're not totally sure what happened to Paul after this. There's some clues, possibly, if we look in one of Paul's letters that he wrote while he was under house arrest in Rome, Philippians, in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 19 to 25, Paul is talking about his hope to be released from prison soon. He says, I think I'm going to get out soon. I think that they're going to let me go soon. But we don't actually know for sure. We know he was hopeful that this would happen. We know that since he was under house arrest, that the Romans didn't think that he'd done anything really serious deserving of death. Otherwise, they'd have put him in a proper prison. But the bottom line is, we just ultimately don't know. What some people believe happens, there's various theories. So some people believe that he went and on trial and he got released, and that he went around and maybe he made it to Spain, maybe he didn't, but he went travelling around telling people about Jesus and boldly and free. And then years later, he got captured again by Emperor Nero and put to death by Emperor Nero after the great Roman fire of AD 64, which, for those of you who are a little rusty on your history, Emperor Nero set fire to his own city, set fire to Rome, because he had this building project in mind. He wanted to rebuild part of Rome. So if you read your history books, what he did is he set fire to Rome, and then he said, I need somebody to blame for this fire. So he turned around and he blamed the Christians, and he threw them to the lions so that he would have a scapegoat and an excuse to rebuild that part of Rome. It's possible that that could be when Paul died. Or maybe he didn't get further than the trial. We don't know. But what we do know from the way that Luke ends this story is that the book of Acts isn't really about Paul. I think if it was really about Paul, Luke wouldn't have left it open-ended. I think he might have tried to put in a little bit more information to lead us to know, at least tell us as much as he knew and let us know, this is as much as I know and I don't know any more. But I think the reason that he leaves it open-ended is because the book's not about Paul at all. The main character in the book of Acts, as we said before, is the Holy Spirit, the unstoppable Spirit of God. In every situation, even in prison, in shipwreck, in poisonous snakes, comes out of the fire and latches itself onto Paul's hand, in other people's sicknesses, everything, all of these things become opportunities through the Holy Spirit to share Jesus. And none of these things on their own are opportunities to share Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, they're just disasters. But with the Holy Spirit, it's showing that the Holy Spirit is so unstoppable that every single disaster, every single problem, every single thing that all the disciples, including Paul, encounter as they're going through life full of the Holy Spirit with Jesus' presence inside them, nothing can stop God's word through the Holy Spirit from setting people free and bringing them into the kingdom of God. So, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just share with you some of the highlights and some of the things that God has struck me with as I've been reading through the book of Acts. And one of the things that struck me is that the same Holy Spirit that inhabited the disciples of Acts is the same Holy Spirit promised to all of you and to me. And you didn't receive a second-rate Holy Spirit, and you shouldn't expect second-rate results. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event like baptism in water. It's an ongoing experience. It's an ongoing filling. We get filled, but then every day we need to empty ourselves so we can be filled again and filled again and continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Annie read, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Does it say you will receive? Does it say you might receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? No. Jesus didn't say you might receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said you shall receive power. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Or when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? So it's So it's shall not maybe, and it is when, not if. And I sometimes think that as Christians, we should be living a life where we're a bit like an electric cable. An electric cable looks really, really tame. It's, you know, if I go and touch this electric cable, this, you know, this housing, it kind of looks boring and it looks ordinary. But if you make contact with the power inside it, you know about it. Yeah. You get a shock. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we forget that that is how we should be, that we look and we are normal human beings like everybody else. But when we accept Jesus and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, it's nothing, it's not us, but the Holy Spirit inside of us, that power. Yeah. It's like the electricity flowing through that cable. Mm-hmm. It's tame until you touch it. Just like in Acts, things like prophecy and healing, they should be common among us. They should be common in the church. They shouldn't be an unusual, an exceptional thing, because the Holy Spirit himself dwells inside of us. Holy Spirit power should be just a normal part of everyday Christian life. I like the way the Soul Survivor guys have this conference called Naturally Supernatural, and that's always appealed to me, that title, just Naturally Supernatural. That's what the Christian life should be, naturally supernatural. But not for ourselves, not for selfish reasons, but to witness, to give us boldness to witness, to encourage one another so that we're bold enough to go out and witness. And when we go out to witness, Jesus comes with us. So the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Acts, helps us to overcome hardship, helps us to live righteously, helps us to be joyful, helps us to have peace, and helps us to witness with boldness and power to those who need the forgiveness and freedom that Christ brings. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in each and every one of you and wants to move through you in power. But in order to do this, the Holy Spirit needs you to surrender every part of you to him, to surrender your tongue, to surrender your eyes, to surrender your ears, to surrender your mind, to surrender your body, to surrender all of you to the Holy Spirit. And then people will see Jesus in you. Do you know, maybe think about this, you know, sometimes we forget that we received our faith in Jesus. We received our salvation. We received our relationship with Jesus and eternal life by faith, by putting our faith in something that we couldn't see. And then we forget that it's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. That we receive and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, not because we're worthy, not because we deserve it, but just because Jesus is worthy. That's the only qualification that you need for receiving the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. I'm not worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is. And Jesus has given you his righteousness. And all we need to do is say in our hearts, Holy Spirit, I really need you. And he's there. But we need to be empty vessels ready to be filled, surrendered, empty of ourselves, ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought about this, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be empty and ready? Well, Romans often talks about the Holy Spirit working, the Holy Spirit and faith, as we saw in Acts, they go hand in hand all the time. Filled the disciples, like we said last week, are filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. And Romans talks about faith working through love. And there is no other way for faith to work but through love. So how does that, what does that look like in practice? Well, in practice, that looks like, how can faith work through love if you don't know what to have faith in? Because faith is trust. And if you don't know a promise, how can you put your faith in a promise? How can you put your faith in something God says if you don't know what God is saying to you? If you don't know what Jesus is saying to you? So the first most important thing for walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is that we need to fill ourselves with what the Holy Spirit is saying through his word. We need to fill ourselves with what Jesus is saying so that we know what to put our faith and what to put our trust in. So that we know what the truth is that we put our faith through love in. So faith in the word through love. And then faith is an action. It's doing what it actually says. The Holy Spirit's focus is making the victories of Jesus on the cross real in our lives and in the church and in the world. It's not just theory anymore, it's reality. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. He doesn't need our help with anything. But he chooses to work with us and through us and for us out of perfect love. I think about prayer. You know, prayer isn't helping God. It's helping us partner with God. And what an honour it is to be able to partner with the God of the universe. I don't know, do you know if there's one thing I can impart to you this morning? It would be just a new sense of awe and wonder and just worship from that very fact. I was in Manchester on Tuesday because I'm doing a course up there at the Bible College, and the course is on holiness. And one of the things we looked at this week in class was just how holy God is. How amazing, how holy, how awesome, how incredible God is. And you know, in the car on the way home, I just worshipped and praised God and prayed to God. I was in tears the entire way home, driving back for an hour and a half, because I started to pray the Lord's Prayer on the way home. I thought, God, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And the first line of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." I didn't get past that first line when I was driving back, because the first line just struck me as so incredible. And I just kept coming back to it. Every time I tried to get to the next bit of the prayer, I couldn't, because I just kept coming back to how amazing and holy God is. And let's never take for granted, let's never cheapen the fact that God has said he will take up residence in us. Let's never despise that. When we read through the book of Acts and we read about that, let's not despise that fact. It's incredible, you know? The God who Moses couldn't look at without dying. You know, Moses said, I want to see you, God. And God says, okay, go up, hide in that cleft in the rock. You can look when I'm coming and haven't got there yet. You can look, because that's going to be about as much amazingness as you can handle physically. But then when I come, hide your face so that you don't die. And it was such an awesome experience for Moses, just seeing what came before and what came afterwards. hiding in the cleft of the rock. This is the same God who, when we read in Isaiah, the prophets in the Old Testament try and describe God and they can't get past his feet. You know, they get to the turnips on his trousers, the hem of his garment, and they're so blown away by the fact of how incredible and glorious and amazing that is, that they can't get any higher. That is the God that says he will come and live inside of you and work through you and move through you. I don't know if you ever stop to think once in a while just how incredible that is. And not to take it for granted, because it's truly, truly amazing. Yeah. So I hope that this morning, if nothing else, that you are filled with awe and wonder at this promise, at this offer, at this opportunity, that you don't treat it cheaply or with disdain, and that you go after it and seek it and long for it and love it with everything that you are. Don't forget God's power demonstrated to you in Jesus, like the Israelites forgot God's power in the wilderness. Reading through Acts, I was really struck by this psalm, Psalm 78, 40 to 43. And I'll explain to you why afterwards. The psalmist says, "How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the region of Zoan." You know, we always say, how could they forget? They come through the Red Sea and all of this, and how could they forget his power? And yet I read through the book of Acts and I look at myself and I look at the church and I think, God, how could we forget your power? We look at the cross and we look at Jesus and I think, God, don't let us be like those Israelites in the wilderness. Don't let us forget your power. Don't let us look at the book of Acts and just go, oh yeah, well that was then. That power doesn't mean anything today. That was then. They had that power, but us. Don't forget God's power demonstrated to you in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has no substitute. You guys know that I love the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist. And he's got a great quote. It's a dangerous quote to say in the Nazarene church because it might offend some. But I love this quote of his. He says, where are we? Reinhard Bonnke says this: "The less Holy Spirit operation we have, the more cake and coffee we need to keep the church going."
Ooh. Ooh, I don't
know about that. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with cake or coffee, but we mustn't let it become a substitute for God's presence and power in the church. It must not be what attracts people to church or what keeps people in church, or people come through the door and go, yay, this is a great church because they got cake and coffee. No, we want people to come in and go, yay, this is a great church because they have the presence of God, and when I walk through the door, I can feel it. Yeah?
Yeah. And they have great cake and coffee.
And they have great cake and coffee. Because there's nothing wrong with that. If you have the Holy Spirit, there's nothing wrong with having cake and coffee as well. But whatever we do, we must always guard against making anything a substitute for God's presence, whether that's great worship bands or, you know, I've been in some churches and some conferences and you think, you know, it's so polished, it's so slick that you might almost forget that, you know, sometimes things can be so polished and so slick that we can forget that we need the power of the Holy Spirit more than any of those things. another quote of Reinhard Bonnke's that I like is that some people want ice cream Christianity. Cold, but nice. Yeah? We want it to be tasty. But we don't necessarily want the fire and the warmth of the Holy Spirit. You know, the fire and warmth of the Holy Spirit should melt ice cream Christianity. Without the Holy Spirit, and I hope you see this in the book of Acts, without the Holy Spirit, the Great Commission is an impossible dream. But with the Holy Spirit, it's not just attainable, it's a joy. You know, Paul talked about having joy. How could the guy who was getting put in prison and shipwrecked and being bitten by vipers and beaten talk about joy? Because there was nothing more joyful to him than bringing the freedom and salvation of Jesus to other people, because he knew freedom, true freedom, and he wanted other people to know the true freedom that he had. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is not just attainable, it's a joy. I can't remember whether I said this last week. If I did, you'll know the answer. But Reinhard Bonnke died this year at the age of 79. Did I tell you how many people? Can anyone remember how many people Reinhard Bonnke brought to Jesus in his lifetime? And that's not, this is real, actually written out decision cards. I've accepted Jesus as my personal saviour. Please put me in touch with the local church. Here's my address. So these are decisions followed up by being put in contact with the local church. How many people do you think? 79 million people. 1 million people for every year of his life. Wow. If you want to see the power of God, and this is again a quote from Reinhard Bonnke, if you want to see the power of God, simply tell the whole gospel. Salvation, forgiveness, healing, peace, hope and deliverance. And in the Crusades, there were many, in Reinhard's Crusade, there were many healings. There was forgiveness, there was peace, there was hope, and there was deliverance. And I know he's not alone. There are many, many, many servants of God who have done and who do the same things. But he said, if you want to know the power of the Holy Spirit, well, tell the whole gospel. If you're not telling people about Jesus, how are you going to see the power of God at work? If you're not praying for people's healing, how are you going to see the power of God at work? You know? You are an ambassador of Christ. When you say in Jesus' name, it should be because you heard Jesus say it and you're passing it on. That's what in Jesus' name means. Did you know that? When you pray in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, do you stop to think about what that means? Because in Jesus' name actually means you're saying, I am an ambassador for Christ. Christ Jesus sent me, and Christ Jesus sent me to tell you this thing. He sent me to pray this thing. Therefore, I say in Jesus' name, because it is not my words, but Jesus' words I am speaking. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we are simply passing on what Jesus says and does in the Holy Spirit. You won't see the Holy Spirit move in power if you don't do what the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is telling you to do. Faith is an action. I'm going to finish with this. Luke Acts, his two-volume work, shows how God's kingdom came on earth as in heaven through Jesus, his Spirit, and his church. It gives us lots of examples of this, of faithfulness to King Jesus, sharing the good news in word and action, forming diverse communities full of love where everyone's equal, trusting in the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Acts calls us to emulate the behaviour of its disciples who were filled with faith in the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And in a world filled with pain, we are to offer salvation and freedom and a way out. And this is not a chore. It's a joy and it is a privilege. Acts is open-ended because a new chapter of Acts is being written every single day. And God is asking you, will you be a part of the next chapter?